بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, an important topic and one of the strongest ways for many to charge and ignite their ibadah is flipping back the pages of our golden history. There's many, many different ways to charge yourself into doing ibadah. We talked about igniting your yearning to Allah, so let us talk about igniting your ibadah. For example, one of the ways is warm up for ibadah, like the two rak'ah the Prophet ﷺ did, gives you energy and excels your ibadah. Remembering death kills boredom and blows the sleep away, making room for your ibadah. Snippets of the life of the Salaf overcomes laziness and it energizes and charges and gets one to excel. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Befriend the Salaf. Choose a friend from the Salaf and befriend him. Everyone has stars they look up to, and Muslims have stars as the Salaf. That's our stars. Someone says, how do I befriend the Salaf when they all are dead? Yes, they all died, no doubt about it, but their legacy of ibadah to imitate and mimic lives on. Today, the standards have become so low that if one doesn't do too many harams, he's considered a saint by many. The surrounding status around us has become so low that those who do sunnah and nawafir for their salah are labeled forerunners in ibadah. سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. But let's look at our forefathers, the real standards we look up to. And I'm not going to try to mention any example of their worship in Ramadan. I want to give you a glimpse in these few minutes of their life 365 days a year, a normal day to them. And if that's a normal day, let your mind wonder how their nights and days in Ramadan were. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, the supporter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the da'iyah, one of two people who took Islam all the way to Yemen. Yemen, it's surrounding today. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari in his grave in Mu'adh, get the reward of everyone there. That's one side we know. But he had another side, like every alim, like every mujaddid, like every mujahid, like every righteous imam, like every pious Muslim should have. Abu Musa strived hard in his ibadah during his life. When they seen him in that fashion, they told him, why don't you relax a little bit, Abu Musa? He said, when the horses are about to get at the end of the race, or when they see and spot water and they're about to reach the water, they sprint to it. And I'm at the end, so let me continue until I die. And he did, radiyallahu anhu. Surprising? Surprising? Well, more stunning than that is they didn't say these kind of statements at the retirement age. They used to say such statements in their youth. Many were known to say such statements in their youth. When a person is doing a 2-mile run, he needs to maintain a form. He takes off at a slow pace, picks up a little bit. And then in the final lap, in the last yards as well, he sprints to the finish line. Their life in ibadah wasn't like that. Their life was like the last few yards, like the last lap that you're sprinting to. Abu Musa al-Khawlani yearned so bad to meet the Prophet ﷺ. One man nation who single-handedly by the power of Allah took down al-Aswad al-Ansi. The man who popped up in Yemen claiming he was a prophet of Allah. While the armies clashed and the memorizers of the Quran were being killed one after another by the tens, if not by, in another narration, by the hundreds. They were fending off Musaylam al-Kadhab. Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, on the other side of the world, took down al-Aswad al-Ansi alone by himself by the will of Allah. A man whose dua was answered. He had a statement similar to that of his teacher, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. But he also said to the Sahaba something amazing. When he was ousted out of Yemen, and he quickly headed to Medina to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to only to find out that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had died just before he got there. In his agony of not reaching the level of a Sahabi, he said, do you companions think you will ever beat us? No, wallahi, we will compete with you and we will beat you. Daring, bold statement from a giant. That should be my statement and your statement. We should compete with our Salaf. if you want their levels and if you want their companionship in Jannah. حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ الصَّابِرِينَ. You think you'll enter the same Jannah of Bilal and Abu Bakr and Khalid and Umar and Hafsa and Sumayya without doing the work they did? You think just because I took my Shahada and I was born into Islam, I'm granted a free shuttle pass into Firdaus without some sleepless nights of worship? It's amazing to read in the books that detail the biographies of the Salaf, statements like, so-and-so, they said about him, if you were to tell him, wallahi, numerous times I read it, if you were to tell him that he would die tomorrow, there's nothing he could fit in his schedule of ibadah. Their life, all of their life, every day of their life, was as if they're going to die that day or the following day. You may say we can't be like them. Wallahi al-azim, it's possible. Sahaba didn't get revelation and neither did we. Tabi'een didn't see the one who got revelation and neither did we. They were determined, we're not. That's the problem right there. It's difficult? Yes. Impossible? No. But we also mention such supreme examples so that if one does a small portion of what we say they did, then he will overcome the obstacle of all obstacles in becoming among those successful saved from hell and admitted to paradise. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Samples that inspire one not to let the blessed days enter and leave without taking advantage of them. And it's not only the quantity of their ibadah, but rather it's also the quality of their ibadah. Qutada said, Mawriq al-Ajli said, the ideal example of a believer on this earth is a man whose ship has sunk and he's floating on a small piece of wood, shouting, Ya Allah, so that Allah can deliver him out of the water safely. That's how the life should be. Their life, their entire life was like a man in an ocean, surfing. His life depends on a small piece of wood, desperate that Allah delivers them to the shore. To their shore, what they meant by that is Jannah. They used to describe Sufyan al-Thawri as though he was on a sinking ship. Most of his saying was, Ya Rab Salim, Ya Rab Salim. Oh Allah, safety, oh Allah, safety, the dua of the messengers on the day of terror. Fatima bint Abdul Malik, the wife of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great Khalifa, said, I never seen anyone more into salah or fasting or fearful than Allah, to Allah and from Allah than Umar. Fatima said he used to make Isha then cry and weep as he slumbers, getting up slumbering in and out all night long. She said that when he would be in bed with me, he would remember a verse or a matter of the life after, and then he would begin to shake and shiver like a wet bird, and then sit up and cry all night long as I tried to cover and comfort him. Let me give you more. Fatima told Al-Mughira ibn Hakim one time, there may be those who prayed and fasted more than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, but none of you came close to his fear of Allah. These were men whose ibadah nourished and raised them to be the revivers they were. Aqba ibn Nafi'a said, I went to Fatima and I asked her, how was the worship of your husband Umar? They sought to learn, and this is our topic. They learned from each other, so we need to learn from them. Aqba went to Fatima to learn the secrets of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz from the only person who might know, possibly might know, what did he do behind those closed doors and behind those walls? He wanted to know. Why do you think Uqba went to her to find out? Because Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, in his 2 years, 4 months, and some odd days as a Khalifa, he spread justice. He spread the law of Allah on this earth and made not the only people rich as the Muslims. Rather, he made the entire Muslim world rich with the Ahli Dhimma included in that. Listen to her one-liner answer. She said, I don't know that he showered from Janaba since he became a Khalifa. A respectable word of saying, in the 2 years, 4 months, we didn't have no relationship. In the daytime, it was worship in establishing justice in the rule of Allah on this earth. That's worship. That's the Tawheed of Allah. At night, it was establishing the personal tawheed of Allah. No time for a relationship with his wife. 2 years, 4 months, and some odd days. They told Amir ibn Abdullah, how do you sustain so much ibadah? He said, simple. All I do is delay my food until night and move my sleep a little bit to the day. Easy? Yes, easy on giant souls only. Only on giant souls. Another time they asked him, and he said, when I get tired, I remember Jahannam, and it blows the sleep out of my eyes and keeps me up all night. Ahmad ibn Harb said, it astonishes me that one may know Jannah is getting decorated above him, and Jahannam is blazing under him, and he rests in sleep in between them. Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir, when people seen him, they would say, this man has been hit with a calamity. His eyes are always teary. His heart always broken. Broken-hearted man, low-toned. His mother would tell him, what have you done? You cry all night and you never stop weeping. Did you kill anyone? He would say, mother, I know what I did. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. In the life of Safwan ibn Salim, I read one time that he used to have pain in his feet from standing all night, every day. They said this about him. They said he reached a point of ibadah where if you tell him the judgment day is tomorrow, he couldn't add any more ibadah to his schedule. He would say all the time, Allahumma inni ahubbu liqa'ak fa ahibba liqa'i. Oh Allah, I love to meet you, so love to meet me. Yearning for Allah and yearning for meeting Allah was like the gentle breeze constantly blowing on their hearts, extinguishing the blaze of the dunya in their hearts. Musa ibn Ismail said, if I tell you that I never seen Hamad ibn Salama laughing, would you believe me? He was always occupied with teaching. He was a alim. He was either teaching. He was either reading Quran. He was either glorifying Allah, making dhikr, or going to salah. And that's how his entire day was spent. Hamad ibn Salama said, we never seen Sulaiman al-Taymi, but in obedience to Allah. He was either in salah or leaving from the masjid. Or he was either going to a janazah or leaving from a janazah. Or teaching or learning. We said this man couldn't even commit a sin. Is he infallible or are they infallible? They say he's infallible. We're not Shia. They said it based on what appeared to them, that the man couldn't commit a sin if he wanted to because he didn't even have time to because his whole life roamed around ibadah. Waqi' said Al-A'mash was 70 years old and he never missed takbir al-ihram, Allahu Akbar, behind the imam. For 60 years, he didn't miss the first rak'ah of salah. فَتَشَبَّهُ بِهِمْ إِن لَمْ تَكُونُوا مِثْلَهُمْ إِنَّ التَّشَبُّهَ بِالْكِرَامِ فَلَاحُ. I think the time is up, so we'll stop here, inshallah. There's a few other things I wanted to talk about. Maybe we'll talk about them in future. Khawatir. Jazakumullahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.